Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and with me today is actor, producer, I'm going to say general troublemaker, Tracy Birdsall.
That's a pretty funny intro. Hi, Summer.
Any woman who goes completely balls out in an action, thriller, sci-fi, dystopic... Am I missing something? No. Robots. Robot. Movie. Yeah. Troublemaker. In a good way.
It was a lot of trouble, actually.
Well, the movie is Rogue Warrior Robot Fighter. And does it have a release date yet?
It doesn't. But we do know that in the U.S. we're being distributed through Sony. So it's kind of in their hands now. They have the masters, and now they'll tell us when it's coming out and things like that. That's kind of how it works. But we're pretty excited. It'll be out the beginning of the year. I mean, we're not looking at very long here. It's finished. It's delivered.
Excellent, excellent. The teasers that have been released are fun looking. And you personally recently won an award, Action Star of the Year.
Yeah, Female Action Performer of the Year, yes. Pretty cool, huh?
Well, tell us about that.
Well, getting the award was kind of, it's funny because when you go to work every day and you work that hard and you go up those mountains and you get, you know, explosions going off around you, it's a lot of hard work. You come home bruised and battered and everything. And so it's just kind of cool. Actually being nominated was really cool because it was like, oh, yeah, that was kind of, you know, an action star type thing. And then to win it, I was just, because I was, you know, of course, there were a lot of people younger than I was that were nominated for it too. And so to win it, it's just kind of, you know, your work paying off. But the real joy of it all, of course, comes from not award winning and stuff, but it comes from when the audience watches it and you move people. And to me, that's the most important thing. That's why I work so hard.
Well, tell us a little bit about the story and how the movie came about.
Okay. Rogue Warrior is about a time set in the distant future, a science fiction film set in the distant future, and it's depicting the overthrow of humanity by artificial intelligence on all the worlds, because, of course, when you're dealing with science fiction, you're not staying on one planet. And it came about, the director had some scripts, and we were looking for something that we wanted to make, and he had this one script, which now is a far cry from what it ended up being, but I have this love for robotics, and... You know, the script had the artificial intelligence factor to it and the robots and things like that. And she was a real badass. And he's like, well, do you think you can do this? As the script started to morph and he kept rewriting it and stuff in order to fit who I was. And then as we got some of the cast together, who they were, I was like, of course I can do that. I mean, I've been training my whole life and stuff. What I didn't think about at the time was, of course, that I'd have to do it 10 times for every shot, which, you know, was exhausting. But as the cast came together, like when we brought in some of the more recent casts, were like William Kircher and Stephen Manley and stuff like that, that's when the movie really started to gain its depth. It's a very character-driven science fiction, which people don't expect. And we know that because most of our cast wasn't there for most of the shooting. I was kind of the common fiber. And so the cast came to the premiere, and they were just, like, speechless when the premiere was over, and I loved that because they just couldn't believe what it had turned into. All they knew was their section, how it would be played, and since we had such amazing actors, it was just, of course, just turned into such a bigger movie over the last couple of years.
Now, I remember seeing some of the early on-set stills, and you guys were filmed most of that in Yuma, Arizona.
Actually, we filmed... We didn't film most of it in Yuma. We filmed one of the major battle sequences in Yuma, which is basically the robots and me. And I'd say the majority of it with the rest of the cast was in the Salton Sea, and some of it was in the Throne of Pentacles. And then, of course, we're all over the place. We went all over Australia, Melbourne, Brisbane. You know, just anywhere. We had to keep finding places that looked like another world. It's very difficult.
Yeah. Because humanity itself is spreading, encroaching upon all the wilderness areas. It's very hard to find a desolate, unused place anymore.
Well, they have to look separate than each other, too. And And, you know, the funny thing was is that you find these places and then you have to figure out how you're going to shoot there and you have to go through all the schematics and stuff like that. But it, one of the things we didn't want to have happen, we didn't want to use much green screen, which we didn't. We wanted everything to be as real and as dirty and as gritty as possible, which we did. But we didn't want anything to take the viewer out of it. We didn't want, like, say, like, oh, well, that looks like such and such. Oh, that looks so much like that. When you watch science fiction, I mean, we all do it, then you have things and you're starting to try to figure out where they're shooting and stuff like that. We just wanted them to feel like they were in different places. And I think we succeeded. When we watched the movie, people were like, oh, that really does look like different, you know. So, but it was a lot of work went into that, a lot of road trips and a lot of flights and, you know. Yeah.
So how long did it take to film everything with all this hopping around to different locations?
About a year. We had the bulk of the cast that did the scenes together out in the Salton Sea, which was me and Dez and Ashley and Tim. That was just filmed over a two-week period. And I think we brought them, Tim and Ashley, back for a couple one-day reshoots. But then we still had the stuff with me and William Kircher and me and Stephen Manley and William Kircher and Libby Steubenrock and, you know, the stuff with Aaron Jacques out in the desert and then the stuff with me and Marilyn Gigliotti out in the desert. All these things were different shots. These were all done at different times. And then with Mark Haas and myself, that was a totally different scene. And so these things just kept... What happened was we made this movie, and we were like, okay, this is a great movie, you know, just get it out the door. It wasn't supposed to be this epic movie that it is. And then Neil Johnson just kept going, okay, now we need this shot here, and now we need that shot there. And then the press took off with this movie. And so it's like, oh, we have to make this even bigger. You know, it's just like we just kept working on it and working on it and working on it. And the very last action sequence we did was the film was already done. It was already through post. It was already scored. You know, Rhapsody of Fire turned in their music, Alex Steropoli. They did the music out in Italy, and the sound was being done out in New York. And so all the pieces were delivered and put together, and Neil Johnson goes, I need one more action sequence right here. So literally 3 weeks before we premiered, we went out to the desert in 110-degree heat and filmed an action sequence. And I laughed at him. I said, you're kidding, right? And I was like, no, he's done. No, it's not done.
That sounds like a man truly dedicated to perfecting the craft.
Well, it's very Peter Jackson-like, you know, and it's funny because William Kircher, of course, being the lead dwarf in the Hobbit trilogy, mm-hmm. when he worked with him, he says, God, you remind me of Peter Jackson. and then we were talking about all these, they're not really reshoots, they're adding new scenes and taking out old scenes and things, and he goes, that's exactly what Peter Jackson does. And so we keep teasing Neil about it. It's the first time he's really gone to this extreme, but it really shows on the screen.
Cool. So the special effects, the robots and the ships, the explosions, how much of that was actually really just practical models that were built?
We did as much of it as practical as possible. Most of the robots that you see are actually built. And then the ships were actually built. And, of course, you know, they had to green screen and, you know, the space part and everything. But everything that was practical, that possibly could be practical, was built. There is one robot that's in there that wasn't. And but almost everything in the movie was real.
Wow. That sounds...
We just won a visual effects and a special effects award for it, too. And it's kind of funny. I just, you know, I keep saying to him, it's really paying off all the choices that he made to go real.
It is, because I keep seeing more and more buzz about this film and less about, hey, when can we see it?
Mm-hmm. I know. And, it, you know, of course, if it had stayed smaller, it would already be out there by now. But since it'll end up being in theaters and it'll end up being, you know, distributed widely, you know, I could have to wait just a little while longer.
You know? Well, hopefully there'll be some major marketing efforts behind this, because this looks like a dirty, gritty, action, fun movie, because everybody likes people versus robots. I mean, the only thing better is monsters versus robots. Hello, Pacific Rim.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and then what's cool about this film, and people didn't expect it when they came to the premiere, even the press, like if you read some of the reviews, they were kind of taken aback because it's a very deep film. I mean, it's a huge, you know, character, you know, journey within my character and what she goes through in this metamorphosis and the horrible things that keep happening to her. But nobody expected that. you know, because in the teaser trailers and stuff, we kind of tried to just show some of the, you know, some of the explosions and some cool stuff that would interest people and throw a little humor in there. But the movie actually, what was funny in the premiere was there's so many places that are funny, but it's just kind of relief from, you know, people going on the journey from what they're watching. It kind of gives you a little moment of relief. And so that was an interesting thing to have happen.
So what sort of extra preparation did you do for your character, Sienna?
Well, since, as I told you, she goes through a lot of different stages of knowing, you know, who she is, what she is, what she's dealing with, you know, things happen to the people near her. I mean, lots of things happen to turn her into what she is later on in the film. And so I had to actually color code my script as to what I knew, where I was at, what effect it had on me, and things like that. But I'd say the hardest thing, besides determining who she was as a character, which was hard because most films you're determining who you are as a character and you might go through something. But I'm having to determine who I am as a character between like 8 different things. And they all make a complete difference in who she is and how she acts and how she carries herself. And so that was really, really, that's the most challenging thing I've ever done. The second thing was I had to bulk up for the role. I had to put on, you know, more muscle and raise my endurance. I go to the gym all the time, but I had to really up my training and my fighting and stuff like that to be able to endure what I was about, the punishment I was about to go through. But the hardest thing on top of that was throughout most of the movie, I'm acting opposite a robot. And, of course, the robot's practical, but it's going to be brought to life later on in post-production. So what I did is I had the director let me bring this little round floating ball robot into my office and put it on a stand, and I had to develop a personality to him. And I had to talk to him, and I had to get to know him because he had to be real to me, because if he's not real to me, he's not going to be real to the viewer.
Mm-hmm.
And the worst part was that I show up on set, and this robot, Hoagland, has a lot of dialogue. And I show up on set, and people start reading his lines, and it took me out of character because it's like, well, that isn't how I imagined him in my mind. So then I had to memorize Hoagland's lines, too, so that I could play it back in my mind and react to it as the Hoagland that I'd gotten to know. And then once Tony Gibbons came in and voiced the role of Hoagland, then it really came to life because he brought so much more to it, and he was, you know, he's British. I mean, he had so many things about him that wasn't how I had it imagined. But all that was important when I did it was that it was real to me, you know, bringing in the other actor later to do the voice and bringing the robot to life in CG just kind of made it all work. And it really works. I mean, it's so funny. My daughter watched it and she's like, I want a Hoagland, you know, because you like kind of fall in love with the character. Yeah.
So is Hoagland making the PR rounds with you, going to the festivals and the ceremonies?
Actually, he did. He's a very integral part of the film. We went through over 3,000 voice submissions to find Hoagland. We were about ready to throw our hands up in the air. We were like, this is ridiculous. And then Tony Gibbons just had this magical voice. And when you hear it, he has this cadence and this life to his voice that makes it real. And so many people tried to sound like a robot, or then when they were given adjustments, couldn't do it. And Hoagland has things he goes through, too. I mean, he has experiences, and you have to be able to hear it in his voice, because you're limited in what you can see on the screen. And, yeah, Tony was amazing. So he's definitely doing the rounds with us.
Awesome. Now, is the actual model robot that you have, are you going to take that home when this is done?
He's sitting right here.
Awesome.
I'm not letting him go. Because somebody will want to take it as a prop and or put it on display or sell it at some point. And I'm like, no, I work too hard. I've been with this robot for a year now. We're like kind of bonded.
Should have a special place right there in the living room.
Yes.
Okay, so what else are you preparing to do next to help promote Rogue Warrior?
Well, we don't have to do a lot to promote it. I mean, it's winning a lot of awards right now. It's been in a couple of festivals, and it kind of cleaned up in both places. And, you know, it's getting ready to get put out there. I think our press kit's like 500 pages long already.
Wow.
On it. Yeah, it's amazing. We've got it in a lot of, you know, in magazines and just all over the place. So just, you know, talking to people like you, making sure that, you know, we're approachable, making sure that, you know, I know that all the other actors and stuff have been talking to them and setting up interviews with them, with people I interview with, because people are like, oh, I didn't know I could get an interview with William Kircher. You know what I mean? It's like, so just kind of trying to be accessible to the public, because as you know, science fiction is a huge genre with a huge fan base. And so many times the people aren't approachable. And so we're just making sure that we're approachable and that, you know, it's like a big family. We're very, very excited for this.
Awesome. Now, are there any more festival appearances where people might be able to get in a sneak preview?
We haven't submitted to any, but we may do another premiere. Just as our premiere was like a third press, you know, so it was like we were very full. But we'd like to premiere it again, just because it's not going to come out for a few months. And but if there is something, I'll be sure to let everybody know, and I'll post it on all the social media. And but it's definitely worth the wait.
Excellent, excellent. Well, thank you for your time today, Tracy.
Thank you, Summer.
That's Tracy Birdsall, the lead actress in Rogue Warrior Robot Fighter, coming soon to theaters near you, and from what I've seen so far, not soon enough. And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Welcome to Tales of the Black Badge, a Wynonna Earp fan podcast. WynonnaEarpPodcast.com. Thanks again for checking in, and I hope you all take care. I told that devil
to take you back. Tales of the Black Badge, presented by Tuning Into Sci-Fi TV.
You're home from the comic book store with your favorite titles. Wouldn't they read better while listening to Krypton Radio?
Hi, welcome back to Slice of Sci-Fi. My guest now is Ashley Park. She's an actress, a producer, and she's also Miss Asia USA for 2016, and she's keeping very busy. Welcome to the show, Ashley.
Thank you so much, Summer. I appreciate it.
Now, the project that's coming out soonest is Rogue Warrior Robot Fighter with Tracy Birdsall, correct?
Correct, yes.
Now, tell us about your role in this film, because this looks like a very fun, apocalyptic, robot, sci-fi actioner.
You hit it. Yes, that's pretty much what it is. But yeah, it's definitely a fun film. When I first read the script, I was excited because it was a real story. It wasn't just, you know, things blowing up and that kind of thing, which that's totally fine, but it was just really fun to read the script and actually laugh and see all the jokes and just funny moments. And I could tell it was going to be a really, really fun shoot. And sure enough, it was. My character is Rihanna. And in the trailers that you see online, I usually just describe it as she brings a little spice to the film. Partially through the film, she comes in and just adds a little spice and fun. And I think when people watch the film, they'll see exactly what I'm talking about.
Well, you serve to keep Tracy's character, Sienna, grounded, right?
Sure, grounded, or just to bring a little bit of annoyance or, you know, something like that.
Distracting her from the galactic consequences of everything else, right?
That's right. There has to be someone there who can be, you know, a breath of fresh air in terms of being annoying. I don't know. It's hard to say.
We're going to call that keeping her grounded, because you're distracting her from the weight of the quest. And that brings her back down, right?
Yeah, I would definitely say so. I would definitely say so.
So how much of the action part did you actually get involved with, the fighting and the blowing stuff up?
Yeah, well, I didn't have to do nearly as much as Tracy. She's definitely the kick butt girl in the film, but I got to have a little bit of fun with running, and I worked directly with Daz Crawford, who stars in it, and so when people watch it, they'll see that. And then it was just really a lot of running, to be honest, which is right up my alley. I actually was a competitive runner for 12 years. So, you know, this time it was just in a hot desert with extremely heavy boots. That was the main difference.
So this, you didn't actually get to pull on your background as a swimmer and a runner for this role.
Well, as a runner, yes. As a swimmer, no. Unless I was going to jump into the Salton Sea, but I wouldn't be alive to tell that story. Ugh. So I didn't do that.
Good move.
Yeah.
So what was your, I guess, your takeaway, your experience making this movie like?
Well, it was a lot of fun for me. I had only done a limited number of feature films when I did that one. I think I had only done maybe two. And so this was really cool because it was my first time to do sci-fi and get to just get dirty and not be such a girly girl, although, you know, I still kind of was. It's hard to take that part of myself away. I think I always bring that, no matter what role I play. But, yeah, it was so much fun. The cast, we had such great chemistry. My co-star, if you will, was Tim McGrath. He plays Blister in the film, did an amazing job. And we had so much fun, just our chemistry and then Tracy's chemistry with us. And it was such a blast to film.
Was it fun for you to sort of break out of the typical role that most people imagine you with as a pageant participant?
Sure, it was. Although at the time I was Miss Korea USA, but I hadn't competed in Miss Asia USA yet when we filmed it. So actually a lot of people didn't know about my involvement in the pageant at the time because it was still pretty much in the early stages.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think I necessarily shocked anyone, but it was definitely something different for me, which I really enjoyed. And it was kind of fun to see that, oh, I could actually do sci-fi and this would be a blast to do. It was so fun to get to picture all of these things that weren't actually there out in the middle of this barren desert. And then when you see the film and you see all the CGI and everything brought in that Neil Johnson, you know, got brought into the film, it's just incredible.
Now, did you have any, like, character additions that, you know, your input into the character, any changes or anything while you were filming?
Any changes?
Any hints saying, you know, she might do this instead?
You know, Neil Johnson, he's our director. He was absolutely incredible. What I did from the very first audition is I didn't play her as exactly how people might think she should be played, and I don't want to give away too much, so that's why I'm saying it that way. But I decided to bring something completely different than I thought, you know, the average person might bring into the role or actor would bring in. And Neil loved it, and he told me that's exactly what he wanted. So when we were on set, there really weren't any changes. He just told me to pretty much do what I did at the audition initially, and we just went from there. He was absolutely awesome to work with.
Awesome. Well, I know I'm looking forward to seeing this when it comes out. I think the last I heard was January or sometime the beginning of the year, right?
You know more than I do. I actually have no idea. That sounds great. We'll start off the year with a bang, literally.
There you go.
So it sounds good.
But you're also in a couple of horror movies coming up. The Terror Tales is the one that's done, and Trapdoor is the one that's in pre-production, right?
Correct, yes, that's right.
What can you tell us about either one of those?
Sure. Well, Terror Tales is a horror anthology, and it's really fun because there's all these different stories that kind of converge into the one wraparound story. And I actually don't know a ton about the other stories because I was only in one of the anthologies, the second one. But it was really fun because in my particular anthology, we got to go back to the 80s, which was really cool because not that I know much about the 80s, but it was fun to get to dress up in the 80s style with the big hair and the, you know, blue eyeshadow and all of that. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. So my character is Alicia Harding, and basically that part of the anthology kind of revolves around my character's abduction by a serial killer called the Sledgehammer, and it's up to the detective to figure out what happened to me so that he can save everyone else from whatever happens to me, which I will not reveal happening to anyone else. And then as for Trapdoor, it is actually a sci-fi action thriller that is kind of in the vein of The Descent. It's female focused and it basically blends action sports and sci-fi and horror all into a thriller. And it's in pre-production right now. So that's definitely going to be a fun one.
So you're going to be pretty active in that one.
Oh, yes. For sure. I actually will probably have to do some of my own stunts this time around, but it'll be fun.
Do you look forward to doing that, doing your own action scenes since you have the background as an athlete?
I do. I love it, actually. I absolutely love it because I'm such a girly girl, and so most people don't expect that from me, but I'm really tough. I just hide it. So I actually really, really love that. I did a web series not long ago. It's a supernatural web series called Last Life, and I got to do my own stunt work. We worked with a stunt choreographer, and it was really cool to get to learn the hand-to-hand combat and all of that. So I actually really do enjoy that aspect of, action films.
Awesome. Where can people find that one? Is that freely available for people to watch?
Yeah, well, season one is already on YouTube. It's under Puma Squad Productions on YouTube. And then season two actually is just about to premiere on October 6th. And
awesome.
In season one, I actually only appear briefly in the last episode. But in season two, I appear quite a bit. So hopefully people can check it out. And it's a really cool web series. A lot of talented people on that one.
What sort of projects do you enjoy working on most? The feature films, the small projects, or are they all the same level of fun for you?
You know, I actually really love everything. My gosh, I don't really have a favorite, to be honest, because I find something so cool and so fun with any role that I take on. And I've gotten more particular now at this point in what I actually want to take on. But if I love the script and I love the role, it's definitely something that I'll do. So no real preference. I'd have to say when it comes to watching things, I'm such a Disney princess baby. So I love every Disney movie that comes out. I know. I adore them. And then I love rom-coms. But there haven't been as many good ones coming out lately. Kind of makes me sad. So I can always go back to my old favorites, I suppose.
That's good. So what else are you looking forward to doing, beyond acting?
Well, I don't plan on doing pageants. I am actually almost done with my reign as Miss Asia USA, so I'll pass on the crown in a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
I'm currently getting my MBA in marketing, so that's something that I'm doing as well as producing. So I'm kind of going behind the camera a little bit more now and focusing a little more on the business side of the industry, not just the on camera. So I think that's kind of what I'm working on right now, and that seems to keep me with a pretty full plate at the moment.
Cool. So tell us where people can find you online and check out the other things you're working on and keep track of the new stuff you're doing.
Sure, absolutely. Well, there's a new web series coming out called Bad Sex with Good People that I'm starring in. And yes, I know. And so it will, that will be premiering pretty soon. The trailers are online, and it's actually produced by Sabrina Bryan and Keely Williams of the Cheetah Girls.
Mm-hmm.
And they will be, the trailers are out, but they're going to be premiering that pretty soon on YouTube under Scene Girls TV. And then the best way to find me, I guess, is probably just on Twitter or Instagram at XO Ashley Park. And IMDb is great. I actually just found out a couple days ago that I booked a major show. And so that will be up on IMDb pretty soon once I can actually announce it. So, yeah.
Nice.
That's part of it.
Cool. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing Rogue Warrior Robot Fighter. I keep getting those mixed up.
It's a tough name. You know, it is a tough name. It's a little bit of a tongue twister with all the R's.
Yeah. So we'll just call it Rogue Warrior, but that Perfect. Sounds too much like Road Warrior. We'll figure something out for the marketing, right?
Totally.
Either way, I'm looking forward to the movie. I'm looking forward to seeing you and Tracy kick butt and annoy each other.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, thank you today for your time, Ashley.
Of course. Thank you so much. It's been so nice. Thank you for having me.
No problem. That's Ashley Park, one of the leads in the upcoming indie sci-fi actioner Rogue Warrior Robot Fighter. There we go.
Very good. Very good.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Slice of Sci-Fi.
Hi, I'm Aaron Ashmore from Sci-Fi's Killjoys, and you're listening to Slice of Sci-Fi.
So as you could tell from the interviews, Rogue Warrior Robot Fighter is a movie I'm looking forward to seeing. I've been seeing snippets about this movie for almost a year now. And we'd get sneak peeks at stills and little teasers. And the trailer came out. And then we had pictures from the final day of shooting. And I'm like, I want to see what this movie looks like put together. And then the teasers and the featurettes came out, and I'm like, okay, yeah, I want to see this. And hearing that it's winning awards, that the actors are winning awards, that the film itself is creating a lot of buzz, and oh yeah, it was just picked up by Sony for distribution in early 2017, so yay. Just one more movie on the list of things I gotta find and see. Ah, yes, look at us complaining about too much entertainment to watch, right? Yeah. We are working on our Marvel Cinematic Universe discussion episode. We have another little discussion coming up about a documentary related to the Marvel Universe. So I hope you guys will enjoy that one when it comes up. Should be next week. Maybe the week after. Not sure which yet. But no, the discussion for the big Marvel Universe talk will be cover the Netflix shows, the tie-in with the big Marvel movies. I want to see more teasers for Iron Fist, and I want to see a deeper connection between Luke Cage, Iron Fist, Daredevil, Jessica Jones, and Doctor Strange. I want it now. I don't think we're going to get any of those characters peeking around the corner in the Doctor Strange movie coming up. I can't wait to see that. I can't wait to see it. Doctor Strange was the first Marvel character I got hooked on. The first Marvel character I read was Black Panther. But for some reason, early on, I didn't get a lot of the issues as they were coming out. Doctor Strange was the first title that I actually kept getting every single month. And I don't know, something about a sorcerer, or as he was called, the Sorcerer Supreme, living in the same world with Spider-Man and the X-Men and the Avengers and all the other Marvel characters that I enjoyed reading about. So I was like, okay, you've got mutants, you've got other superpowered heroes, you've got gods and demigods, and you have a sorcerer. This is amazing. And it was Doc Strange's worldview that hooked me on the deeper darkness, the deeper mysteries of the Marvel Universe. And from Doctor Strange, I jumped over to the Avengers and the Defenders. I never read Heroes for Hire. Or I never read Luke Cage, Hero for Hire. I think that was after my time. But I remember Power Man and Iron Fist. Power Man is Luke Cage. For those youngins out there. Oh, I feel so old sometimes. Oh my goodness. But yeah, we'll be having that chat soon. Hopefully before Doctor Strange releases in the theaters. Or maybe just after. I haven't decided yet. For those of you looking for a little bit more horror coverage, did you notice there was a new episode of Kick-Ass Mystic Ninjas yet? Yeah, if not, go on ahead and over there and check it out. We have a little discussion, myself and author Jez Connolly, about The Thing, specifically John Carpenter's Thing, but we delve a little bit into the novella, the original novella, the original movie adaptation by Howard Hawks, and the prequel that came out recently, which I thought was well done, but a lot of people seem to hate. Don't understand why, but not everyone's tastes run along the same tracks, and yeah, I can see where you get sick of prequels and sequels and remakes and reboots. And speaking of reboots, I saw the first trailer, the first teaser for the Power Rangers reboot. And I had to stop and think, was Power Rangers something that needed to be rebooted? I'm glad they're not going with a straight-up remake, because that would just be sacrilege. But a reboot looks kind of interesting. I saw one comment out there that compared it, saying, oh, so this is Chronicles crossed with the new Fantastic Four movie. And I just went, oh, dear, I hope it's not that bad. I don't even know if I can say it looks promising. I didn't connect with any of the characters, but the special effects look interesting. And how they take the story in the direction, I don't know if they're going to, I mean, what does a darker, grittier Power Rangers look like? What is that supposed to be? I don't know if that's really the direction they're going, but interesting choice if it is. But we will talk about Power Rangers when it's closer to time for more Power Rangers. But in the meantime, that'll do it for this episode. If you have any questions or comments, call. The number is 602-635-6976. Leave a voicemail message, ask a question, rant a little bit, rave a little bit, whatever tickles your fancy in the moment. If you want to record something a little longer, go ahead and record that yourself and email it here, summer@sliceofscifi.com. If you listen to the show through iTunes or Stitcher, please leave us a review there. Let other people know that you're checking out the show and maybe they'd enjoy it too. You can also catch the show on TuneIn and on Krypton Radio. You can follow us on Twitter @SliceOfSciFi. You can follow us on Google+ and YouTube. We're Slice of Sci-Fi, both of those locations. And of course, there's a website, sliceofscifi.com. Come on by, leave your comments on any of the reviews that the team is doing. We should be coming up very soon on our handful of 5 episodes in reviews of the new fall TV shows, so keep your eyes open for that. We may have one or two more stragglers in the 50 years of Star Trek columns, opinion pieces that the team members have been submitting. So feel free to come on by and comment on those. Also check out our other websites. Of course, kickassmysticninjas.com. We also have writersafterdark.com, where we do mostly book reviews, and where we also have interviews with authors, filmmakers, comics writers, anybody who's writing stories of any kind for us to enjoy. We have documentary filmmakers, horror filmmakers, comics writers, sci-fi authors, fantasy authors, and more on the way. We also have PopCultureGeeks.com for your mainstream film entertainment and TV entertainment, and possibly a few other media niches as well. We'll see as we go along. Thank you all for your support through Patreon. Every pledge helps keep the show here and the other websites going. Thank you very much for your support. And as always, thank you very much to Sci-Fried for providing the music for the show. You want to find out more about their music and if they're on tour or not, go over to sci-fried.com. But that'll do it for this episode. We'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.